Welcome back, everybody, listening at home, in your cars, at work, and certainly welcome back to the people here at the museum. By the way, if you'd like to come by and join us, there is the reserved seating that was given away over the air, but there's also room for street traffic, if you will. If you're in the neighborhood, if you're taking your lunch break in the next hour or so, come on down and join us. We are at 25 West 52nd Street. Just check in at the WNEW-FM table, and you are in. And let me tell you about some of the things you can expect to hear later on today. I know that when the professor gets here at 1 o'clock, we're expecting a visit from Grand Funk Railroad, who will be performing live here at the museum, as well as the stars of our 30th anniversary concert, which takes place tonight at the Beacon Theater. And that is Yes, another one of those bands that we've had a long, long history with. Later on this afternoon, Pat St. John is here with Pat Denizio of the Smithereens, who will perform live, as well as Rick Ocasek, formerly of the Cars. He, too, will be performing live. I have that artist, that mystery artist, coming up in the noon hour, whose record was the first one played on WNEW-FM 30 years ago last night. Have you figured out who it was yet? We'll tell you in a little while when he gets here. And listening this morning to George Harrison calling into the Dave Herman Rock and Roll Morning Show reminded me of a story. You know, I pride myself on having lived a lot of this music and knowing a lot about it. So I'm really impressed when even I can be taken by surprise by a fact about a particular song. And this is a story that I just learned the truth of about 3 or 4 years ago. We were doing a special event with Donovan at the time that he released his boxed set. And he told a story about writing Hurdy Gurdy Man. That was a number 5 single for Donovan in the middle of 1968. And here's how it came about. When he went to India with John Lennon and Paul McCartney and Mike Love of the Beach Boys and Mia Farrow, a lot of songwriting got done on that trip. I don't know if anybody got good at meditating, but they certainly improved their songwriting. Many of the songs on the White Album by the Beatles came out of that trip to India by George and John and Paul. And a couple of songs came out of it for Donovan as well. One of them was Hurdy Gurdy Man, which is actually about the Maharishi. That is fact number one. Fact number two is that as they were sitting around the camp in India, whatever you do, the campfire, I guess, at night, they were playing new songs to one another, and Donovan played Hurdy Gurdy Man, and George told him, I can write a verse to that song. And right there on the spot, he composed a verse for Hurdy Gurdy Man. For whatever reasons, contractual, record company, whatever, Donovan did not record George's verse to the song. But that was 1968, so now 29 years later, if you haven't heard it, as a favor to me, Donovan sent over a recording of Hurdy Gurdy Man with the long-lost George Harrison verse, which I would like to play for you this morning on our 30th anniversary show from the museum. You up for that? Yeah. Hurdy Gurdy Man by Donovan at 102.7 WNEW-FM.
Thrown like a star in my vast sleep, I opened my eyes to take a peek, to find that I was by the sea, gazing with tranquility. 'Tis then when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing the songs of love. Then when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing the songs of love. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Histories of ages past, unenlightened, the shadows cast down through all eternity, the crying of humanity, then when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing the songs of love. Then when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing the song of love. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. When I wrote this song, I was in India with four Beatles, one Beach Boy, and Mia Farrow. We were gathered together one day in Maharishi's bungalow. These four Beatles, one Beach Boy, Mia Farrow. There was an embarrassed silence. Maharishi, he sat cross-legged on the floor, on his deerskin, as was his wont. And John Lennon, the wit and the humorist, he decided to break the silence. So he walked up to Maharishi as he sat on the floor. And he patted him on the head and he said, there's a good guru. We all laughed. And Maharishi laughed the loudest. Later that night, as we were gathered together on the roofs of our bungalows, under the tropical Indian stars, we broke out the guitars and I started to write this song. It went like this. And George Harrison, he turned to me and he said, could write a verse for that song, Don. And he did, but I didn't record it. But would you like to hear the long-lost verse of George? Okay, George, he wrote. I love George. He said this. When truth gets buried deep beneath a thousand years of sleep, time demands a turnaround, and once again the truth is found. Yeah, George. Awakening the hurdy-gurdy man who comes singing the songs of love. Then when the hurdy-gurdy man, they come singing the song of love. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang. Hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-gurdy-gurdy, he sang.
Pretty classy stuff. Pretty classy stuff. And we are live at the Museum of Radio and Television, 25 West 52nd Street, for the WNEW-FM 30th anniversary celebration. Please stop by if you're in the area. We'll be here until 7 p.m. We're close enough to 12 noon, close enough for rock and roll, for me to reintroduce the man who used to do my noon newscast on the midday show for a bunch of years, as I remember it, in the 70s.
It just seemed that way.
You met him earlier this morning with Dave Herman. Please say hello again to Andy Fisher.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Pete, and happy birthday.
In the original days, WNEW-FM used to simulcast the news from WNEW-AM.
That's right.
But there was a different mindset about the news for one station's audience versus the other station's audience. You either know what I'm talking about or you don't. you know what I mean? I mean, there were those push-button issues like Vietnam or like marijuana or like any other number of subjects I could think of.
Remember No Nukes?
Right, No Nukes was a perfect example of that, where you knew that the AM station audience had a very different attitude about those things than the FM station audience. So at a certain point in our history, that had to be radically changed, and it was by bringing over two great newsmen to the FM side, and that was the department. Andy and Robin Sagan were in charge of
that department.
Yeah. Did you have to deal with those conflicts when it was the same newscast on both stations, Andy?
We did, and we got into the long discussions about it, about how we didn't want to come on Dave Herman's show in the morning and do four fires and a mugging and call that the news. It wasn't. There was a lot more going on, a lot bigger things were going on. And I think that really about that time was when the people of college radio in the late 60s were coming of age. You really can't underestimate the input that the marvelous college radio stations, certainly in this area, had. You, of course, at Fordham, and the Columbia radio station where I got my start.
And Dennis Elsis, whom you meet in a bit at Queens College, yes.
Marvelous WFMU, which outlasted Uppsala.
Yeah. The first wave of WNEW-FM personalities were all solid radio professionals from radio backgrounds. Roscoe and Jonathan Schwartz and Scott Muni. Zachary came from television. That was an exception. But the next wave and every generation there after came from the ranks of college radio. So the universities and college radio stations in this area can be very proud of their contribution to the growth and evolution of FM radio on the New York radio dial, no doubt about it. You remember the weirdest day that ever happened between us? I didn't pre-warn you about this, but it's...
I remember a lot of weird days.
There were a lot of weird days. This was the day that Chevy Chase was up promoting an album of his.
That was definitely about as weird as it got.
Weird as it got. He just took over the radio station, had Andy doing the noon news without pants. Some of the details escaped me, but it was a rather peculiar morning, and I'm glad we both survived.
You just let
it.
The truth get out. That was it. It seems to me that the last time...
I don't even know if you know what you said there, but it sounded funny to me.
The last time that that you and I were on the radio together, I think it was 1972 for a day.
Very possibly.
And
so.
You introduced me at noon as Eddie Fisher.
Eddie Fisher, yes. As if you can't make mistakes after doing this for 30 years. We were doing our recreation of 1972 recently, and I hadn't seen Andy in years, and I introduced him as Eddie Fisher. Slap on the wrist for that one.
I am mentioned in Keith Olbermann's book, The Big Show, for a mistake that I made on WNEW AM.
Which was?
When I said, I'm Chip Cipolla for Andy Fisher, and that's the Mets pregame show, and immediately corrected myself, as you did when you said Eddie Fisher.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And being mentioned in the same paragraph with Walter Cronkite, who was also known for calling himself Walter Crankcase or something like that, was
not
very nice.
Bad company, not bad company, and such a pleasure to have you here today to help
it's
us celebrate our 30th
back.
Anniversary.
Happy
Andy
anniversary.
Fisher, everybody. When Dave Herman, Dennis Elsis, and I came back to WNEW-FM in January of this year, we asked our listeners, thank you. We asked our listeners to suggest songs that kind of spoke to the moment, and the three that it got narrowed down to were the following. You heard one earlier, Deja Vu, because it did feel like Deja Vu all over again. Another one that was suggested by many people was Rock and Roll Never Forgets. And I heartily concur with that one as well. And the third one, which is the one I'm going to play for you right now, made us feel kind of special back in January, by Thin Lizzy. The boys are back in town at 102.7 WNEW-FM. The question put before you was, do you know which artist, which recording artist, do you know the first record ever played on WNEW-FM on October 30th, 1967? Well, let me tease just a little bit longer through these commercials and then tell you who it is.